Matthew chapter 25 is where we are at this morning. We are going to pick it up at verse 14 and look at the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, there are two main divisions that I've broken it up this way anyhow. The first is in verses 14 to 18, if you're taking notes. Verses 14 to 18 I titled, Responsibilities Given. Responsibilities Given. And then verses 19 to 30 I titled Reckoning, and I'll have some sub-points for each of those. We'll look at those in just a moment. A few days before his death, Dr. F.B. Meyer, one of my favorite authors, probably is my favorite author, Dr. F.B. Meyer wrote a very dear friend these words. I have just heard, to my great surprise, that I have but a few days to live. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have entered the palace. Don't trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning. Now, every time I hear that, and I've heard it a few times over the years, I always think a couple of things. What must have his friend thought when he received that and thought, wait a minute, you died a few days ago, okay, and you're going to meet me in the morning. Do you know something I don't know? But the other thing that strikes me is that Frederick Bretherton Meyer, it apparently there was no fear in his heart whatsoever about his soon death. In fact, he seems excited, doesn't he? He says, don't bother to write. I'll by the time you write, I'll be in the palace. See you in the morning. From one thing to the next. The reason that he was able to make that kind of a statement and to feel that way and to not hesitate when it came to leaving this earth and moving on into heaven is because F.B. Meyer lived his life in such a way that he was investing himself and not ingesting only for his own pleasure. In the parable of the talents that is before us here in Matthew chapter 25, we will see some individuals with that same mindset. What can I do while I am here? Put me to work. And we will see an individual who lived opposite of that, who did not invest, but only ingested. Let's take a look at our first section, which was what? Responsibilities given. It says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, it is important for those of you that are Bible students and you want to know these things, the phrase for the kingdom of heaven is like is not originally in this original text. It's probably, if you've got it, it's probably italicized because it was added later. It's to help us understand that Jesus, the subject that he is teaching on or talking or discussing here. But in the original language, it's the same thing that he was talking about in the previous parable. He had just taught one parable. He's still on the same topic and goes right into the next story. The other thing that you and I will want to understand is that a parable was an earthly story that was used to convey some spiritual or heavenly meaning. So Jesus is attempting to teach his disciples something of spiritual significance. In this case, it has specifically to do with the kingdom of heaven, okay? If you want to look back at this, you can go back to verse 1 of this chapter and see that that's what he's discussing. But he's attempting to teach his disciples some spiritual lessons. Now, the disciples, and where did this all come from? The disciples had asked him some questions at the beginning of chapter 24. We won't go back there right now, but I want you to know that they asked him some questions about, he made some statements about the buildings and the temple and different things that were around there. But they're asking him about end time events. And as he's answering, he's using this parable to teach on some end time events. Now, this passage has its primary application in end-time events, and specifically, as our pastor teaches when he gets to this chapter, that this has to do with the time of the tribulation. And we believe here that we, by the time this happens, that we will be raptured, that we'll be gone, the believers will be gone. So you may think to yourself, well, then why are we even bothering with it? You know, we'll be gone. Let's move on to something more helpful. But you and I must also understand that this has a tremendous secondary application to us. What we will see in this passage is some individuals using their time wisely, and watch out, we'll see an individual not using his time wisely. So there is also an opportunity for us to peer, to see into the heart of God, and to see what it is that God values. I want to know that. Don't you want to know that, church? I want to know that. All six of you agreed. Very good. Thank you. Okay. We want to know what God values, don't we, church? There it is. We want to know what God values. And we get a chance to glimpse and to see it right here. Now, in this first section, which is responsibilities given, I've got a couple of sub-points. I'll tell you what the first one is right away, because we're going to see it in verses 14 and 15, which we just read, and that is property of the master. So that if I am writing notes, I've got my heading there, responsibilities given. Under that, I would write property of the master. Let's take a look at it once again. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Okay? Like a man. The kingdom of heaven obviously is not a man traveling to a far country. Okay? It's like a man. He's giving an example. Keep in mind that the issue here is not necessarily the distance, but the time that it takes this man to travel to where he's going. He conducts whatever business he's doing there, personal or business, and then he's got to make his way back. Travel in those days was, it was hard. It was hard. It wasn't just jump in the car. Yesterday, my family and I, we jumped in the car and we drove out to the Malibu area to go to the museum. And, within 2 hours, because of traffic, I hate traffic. Why in the world do I live here? Everywhere you go is traffic, right? So I have to remind myself of that. But even though it took us 2 hours, still 2 hours. If I was to grab my bike and try and ride that distance, how long would it take me? If I were to try and walk, if I were on horseback, how long would it take me? If I was using public transportation, it would take me 3 times as long. I was able to jump in a car, and within 2 hours, bam, I'm getting off my car and in sunny Malibu out by the beach and going and walking into the museum. Incredible. But at this time, that was not the case. And this gentleman goes on a long journey. But again, the issue was not the distance, but the time. Keep that in mind, okay? We'll get back to that in just a moment. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. Whose servants are they, church? Yes, very good. All 10 of you, okay? Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Whose goods were they? There you are. Good morning. They were his own servants and his own goods. Okay? Now keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that some more a little bit later. But they were his own servants, his own goods. Okay? And he gives them out in verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another 1. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, talents, oh, America's Got Talent, or, you know, singing or dancing or juggling or whatever, all the talents, you would be partly correct in that this is actually where we got our word talent from this story, the parable of the talents. However, as Jesus is sharing this parable, it doesn't have to do with those types of talents. A talent was actually a unit or a measure. It was a weight. So he gives to the first servant 5 talents worth of some amount of money. It may have been gold, may have been silver, may have been copper, may have been coins. We don't know what it was. It's just 5 talents worth. One gets 2 talents worth. The last one gets 1 talent worth. Just to help us understand it a little bit better before we move on, for you and I, we might say, it's not equivalent, but we might say that he gave the first servant 5 pounds worth of this type of money, or 2 pounds worth of this money, or 1 pound worth. So it was a measurement, it was a weight, okay? But they get these talents, and again, if you're thinking, well, talents, you know, that's again, you know, special abilities, well, you wouldn't be completely wrong. John Ryle says rightly, he says this, anything whereby we may glorify God is a talent. Our gifts, our influence, our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church, our advantages as possessors of the Bible, all are talents. So if you thought, I'm off the hook, I don't know how to sing, so I don't need to do anything for God. I don't know how to play one of these fancy instruments. I'm off the hook. I don't have to do anything for God. I don't know how to get up and speak and talk in front of people. Welcome to the club. Neither do I. If you thought, well, I'm off the hook because I don't have any special ability. No, John Ryle got it. He got it right on the nose. It's anything that you and I can use to glorify God. Let me give you a couple of examples. Some are athletic, and they've got that discipline to train and to do well, to perform well in their sport. They may use that as their stage, so to speak, to glorify God. Yes, it might be singing. Yes, it might be dancing. Yes, it might be one of the arts, whatever it might be. But it might also be your ability to communicate with people on a personal basis. I'm okay in doing this right now. I'm okay standing in front of you and sharing. I'm a little lost and awkward when it comes to personal conversations. I'm just not that good at carrying on a conversation. To be honest with you, I just don't think I'm that interesting. So you may notice if I'm talking to you, I probably ask you a lot of questions because you seem to be more interesting than I am, so let me ask you some questions. You may have the ability to carry on conversations. Wonderful. We need some greeters at the front door with a smiling face. Welcome. Come on in. And hey, I remember you. And how's it going? And good to see you. And what a wonderful hat and whatever else. You may have that ability. That's something that you can use to glorify God. Some of you may be good communicators and you're able to teach and explain things. And you might be able to use that to be a teacher. Do we need more Christian teachers in the public school system? Amen, right? So that may be your ability. You use that to glorify God. You may be a mechanic. I do not understand mechanics. I can do little things here and there, but I do not understand. I've watched a friend of mine who's a mechanic, and he got into my engine and just started pulling stuff off and throwing it. I said, hey, aren't you going to put those in bags and label them? And he just looks at me like, I know where everything goes. And he did. He's got that ability. He used that to glorify God. So it's anything whereby you and I, we might use that thing to glorify God. Now, we do see some misuse of that in our day and age. If you ever, I don't know why you would, but if you ever watch the Grammys or some, you know, music awards show, and you hear the people get up, you know, and they say, well, first of all, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think, oh, don't blame what you do on God. Just leave him out of it and go on about your business. But there are those that have those special abilities and yet misuse them. Okay? Let's talk some more about it. So, it says in verse 15. Now you'll notice that I split it right in the middle of verse 15. I don't know if that's, you know, the correct way to do it or not, but I'm doing it, so here we are. We saw the property of the master in verses 14 and the first part of verse 15. But now, if you're taking notes, under property of the master, what we would want to write is proportional to their potential. proportional to their potential. What? Look what he says in the second part of verse 15. As he's given out these talents, he says, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So this master evidently intimately knew his servants. And he knew who could handle what. So when he gives one five, and he gives another two, and he gives another one, he knew exactly what it was that they could handle. Perhaps this master had seen them work, watched them work, and realized, okay, this one's, you know, he's a good worker and whatever, and he gave those out proportionally to their ability. Keep in mind that our master knows exactly what we can and cannot handle. Okay? He knows exactly what we can and cannot handle with his help and without his help. This master gives out these things proportional to their potential. Author S.D. Dickey said this, "We have nothing to do with how much ability we've got or how little, but with what we do with what we have. The man with great talent is apt to be puffed up, and the man with little talent to belittle the little. Poor fools," he says. "God gives it, much or little. Our part is to be faithful, doing the level best with every bit and scrap, and we will be if Jesus' Spirit controls." So we don't have anything to do with the amount. Let me ask you a trick question. Whose servants are these again? His. What about the goods, the talents that they've just received? Whose are those? Ah, everything belongs to the master. Did you hear that? Did you see that? This is a biblical principle that you and I want to take note of if we do not understand this. That all that I am, all that I have is the master's, for the master's use. You see, something that I am finding over the last few years that many of us, and especially many of our young people, are not understanding is this. That at some point in the past, many of us in this room, how many of you are saved? How many of you are Christians? Say, raise your hand. You're kind of scared, like he's going to ask me to do something. No, there's many of us, most of us in here are saved. What I have found is that many of us do not understand what really took place last week or 8 months ago or so many years ago. Do you understand that we gave our lives to Jesus? You know what that means? It means that you no longer have a life. You say, that's right. I used to go out on Friday night and party it up. And now I'm in bed by 6:30. And it's good, isn't it? We no longer have a life. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Some of us gave our lives away to the Lord so many years ago, and we have spent every day since then wrestling and fighting and trying to pull our lives back and live it for ourselves, and it's not working. And you show up here frustrated and you say, I don't know, nothing's working out, Pastor. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I say, when did you give your life to the Lord? Do you understand that when you gave your life to the Lord, you don't have a life anymore, but you're trying to live it for yourself? It's not yours. Church, do you understand that? I am speaking to classrooms full of young people often who didn't know that. They thought that they were supposed to give their life to the Lord and then take it back and make college plans and plans for the future about who they were going to marry and what they were going to do and when they were going to do it. And I am seeing young people coming up on their senior year scared, saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Because society is telling me that I'm supposed to go to college and get an education and do such and such. But there's no fire and passion in my heart for that. And some of you, this is life-changing for you because you have spent time attempting to live life for yourself. You are the masters. Everything that you have is His. Relax. Relax. Let Him lead you. Let Him have His way. Let Him guide you. He gives to His own servants His own resources. Let's move on, can we please? Verse 15, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now what we will see is, let's move into our second and final section, the reckoning. We saw what they did with it. 2 of the guys doubled it. The last one hid it. Okay? Let's move on. Verse 19. Under reckoning, if I am taking notes, I've got a couple of subpoints there also. The first is arrival of the master. In verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, did you notice the phrase there at the beginning, after a long time? So the idea is not necessarily that it's far away, but the time that it takes to get there, to do the business, conduct the business, and get back is a long time. Now, some of us, we love that phrase, a long time. Like when you can remember being in school and the teacher would say, you've got a report due, a project due in 6 weeks. We just, what does that mean? You know what that means? That means that I've got 6 weeks to spend on myself. And the report or the project is due on Monday morning. So when do I start it? Terrible students you are. Procrastinators. We've got a name for it. Procrastinators. And we're even proud of that now. And we'll make those little shabby chic signs, you know, procrastinators, or, you know, perfectly procrastinating or whatever, you know. We've got all, you know, we love that. But I'm one of those people. I've got a daughter, my youngest daughter drives me nuts. She's a freshman in college. And she is so studious. Drives me crazy. Relax. We're going to the beach. Let's go. No, I can't, Dad. I got homework. You what? And then I remember that I'm paying for it, and I say, never mind, stay. Some of us are procrastinators. So let's find out what these individuals did with their time. Let's find out. And so we see in verse 20, we see, so first we saw what? Arrival of the master. Now we see accounts settled. In verse 20, we see servant one. Here's the report, if you're taking notes. Servant one, the report. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. So he doubled it. He doubled what he had been given. Incredible. Verse 21, he gives the report. Here's the response from the master. He begins with praise. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Good job. Good job. And then he says that in the second part of verse 21, where he began with praise, he ends with a promise. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, he's going to essentially say the same thing to servant number 2. Okay? But let's notice a couple of things before we move on. Servant one gave his report. Did you see what he said in there? There's a little L word in there. He said, look. You see, he was not ashamed of what he had done. You almost get this sense that he is excited about the return of the master. And hey, master, look what's taking place with your money. He seems to be excited about, yeah, you gave me and here's what I'm giving back. Then the master goes on to say this. We learn a biblical principle here. He says in verse 21, in his praise, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things." Now, it is believed that these talents that we were talking about, that this was actually, these numbers actually numbered in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, the amounts. Incredible. But the master says, "You've been faithful over a few things." It's just little things. Just few things. We don't seem to get the idea that the master was, you know, took all of the money and, you know, started, you know, just loving the money. He is just so pleased with his servant. Did you see that? And the servant says, "Look, this is what I've done." And so there's no hesitation there. When the master returns, it's, "Hey, I'm excited. Let me go see him." Now, the same exact thing happens with servant two. Let's look at it, verse 22. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them." So this is servant two, giving his report. Here's the response, identical. It says in verse 23, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So you see the praise and the promise there. Now, let me remind you at this point that this parable, its primary application is for those end times events, you know, during the, what was it called again? I'm sorry? My hearing is so bad from tribulation. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you for paying attention. All three of you. Thank you. So it's for that time. However, what we're learning is that there is some application for you and I in the sense of the time. And we're looking at what God values. And according to this parable, evidently God values productivity. There's a parable that he told just prior to this. Talking about, same subject, being ready for the return of Jesus. And what he said was, what the lesson was, you ought to be ready by being prepared. Make sure that you're prepared. In this one, what he's saying is you ought to be ready for the return by being productive. He's telling them, you did a good job, yes, with the money, but also with your time. You used it wisely, okay? Now, let's find out what happens with this third servant, verse 24. Here's his report, verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man." Now, is our master a hard man? Because obviously the master in the story would represent Jesus. Is he a hard man? No, he's not a hard man. Okay? So this servant begins with some falsehoods here. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." And in verse 25, he admits here in his report, "And I was afraid," or fearful, "and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." So this servant says, "Hey, I was afraid. I was afraid that I would lose your money and you would come back and do something harmful to me," is essentially what he's saying. What he's essentially saying to his master is, "Look, there's your money. Go do what you want with it. It's not mine." Now, I have a question for you. This is a parable, and probably Jesus had seen this type of thing happen often. Whether these individuals that he's talking about were actually, if it's actually a story that he had witnessed, or whether he had just seen it often over the years, I don't know. But let's talk about those two servants for just a moment. Those two servants who doubled their money evidently were busy, right? They had some time, and they used it wisely. What about the third servant? If he took the one talent, dug a hole, buried it in there, pray tell me, what did he do with all of the time if he wasn't investing and working? Correct. Whatever he wanted. What he had been given, he sat on. The time that he had, he wasted. And check this out. Look at how selfish this was. What he had been given, these talents, were not even his. They were lent to him so that he might bring an increase. But he wasn't busy working, so what was he doing? Anything he wanted. And there are individuals today, through the ages, individuals today, that have been gifted and given something from God, some talent, and they are sitting on it. Now, no doubt, there are some of those people sitting in this room this morning. And right now, you are beginning to sweat and get nervous because someone already told me after first service, why were you picking on me? I wasn't picking on anyone. But there's probably something that God has been impressing on your heart to do, and you're afraid, and you're hesitating, and you're balking. I heard a story about a well-known pastor. He's still a pastor today at a Calvary Chapel. When he was a young man, had just been saved not too long ago, was down at the beach in a pizza place, and he was sitting at his table enjoying his meal, and he looked across, and there was another young man, and he felt the conviction, the impressing of the Holy Spirit on his heart, saying, get up and go share the gospel with that young man. And this pastor sat there digging his heels in and making excuses and fighting, and as he was in the middle of wrestling with God, wasting his time, another young man came in off the street into that pizza place, walked right past him, went and sat down with that other young man and began to share the gospel with him. And he learned a lesson that afternoon. God said to him, if I can't use you, I will use someone else. God is in the midst of working and wants to use you and I. At this very moment, only a few hundred yards from where you and I are sitting, standing, there are people on that freeway called Scott Road. They are blowing past this place with no mind of what's going on in here. And there are many of them, no doubt, that at this very moment are on their way to hell, family. And are we busy inviting and trying to get them in here? You see, God has given you, we learned this, New Testament, our pastor's a New Testament teacher. We know this, that each of us as believers has been gifted. We've been given a gift. The question is, are we using it? Are we investing or are we ingesting? You see, I want to be like my favorite author, Frederick Brotherton Meyer, and when I find out that I am about to die, say, oh, thank God, I'll see you in the morning. Let's go. I don't want to be ashamed, and I don't want to feel regret for what I did not do to participate in God's great commission. Did you know that God is working globally, saving people? When we go to Mexico, we don't take God with us. He's already there. And did you know that God is working in Menifee, at Albertsons, and at the gas station, and at the bank where you go to, and at the drive-thru at Del Taco, and at Submarina, and at City Hall? Did you know that God is already working, and what he wants to do is to use you and I? He has given you talents. Church, let's not sit on them. Let's not waste our time. Our time is short. One of these moments, our heart will stop beating. It only has so many beats. You do not know what the number is. I do not know what the number is. But we know that time is short, don't we? The older that we get, we laid down to take a nap when we were 25. We woke up and we were 50. What happened? What happened? What happened? Time is moving quickly, and some of us have been like this third servant and thought, oh, you know, I'll just, you know, do such and such, those talents, you know, not really that big a deal, and I'm just going to just live my life for myself, and I got plenty of time before the master returns, you know, what's the big deal? No, friends, time is short. Time is very short. And you and I have an opportunity. We have been invited by the master to take part in the work that he is doing. And he has, in fact, he has additionally given us gifts so that we might participate with him. What a privilege. You have been told a lie, that there's nothing that you can take with you to heaven. That is a lie. You may not be able to take your favorite dress or your favorite motorcycle or your favorite whatever, but what you can take with you is people. And our job is to go to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. Friends, family, co-workers, students, whoever it might be. You get a part in that. What a privilege. God help me not to waste time. Let's finish this thing up. We got to get out of here, and you guys are taking way too long. And I was afraid in verse 25 and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. In verse 26, we see the response. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. His response is one, it begins with condemnation. It moves to correction in verse 27. So you ought to have. This is what you should have done. Deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It's a biblical principle that if you have been faithful with what God has given you, that he will, in fact, give you more. Now, we ought not to be serving just to get more, like, you know, how high can I go in, you know, in God's economy? But we do want to be faithful. But just understand that when you are faithful, then God will give you a little bit more. And he'll give you a little bit more. And he'll give you a little bit more. That is a biblical principle. Be faithful with the little. That's all. Just be faithful with the little bit that you have. But finally, we got to finish this thing up. By the way, let me just mention this real quickly. For to everyone who has, more will be given. The idea is not, oh, he's you know, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. It's not what he's talking about. What he means is those who have been faithful, they're going to get more. And those that have been unfaithful with what they've been given are going to lose it. But finally, in verse 30, this is where we finish. We saw the condemnation, the correction, and now we see in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Church, keep in mind that the primary application for this passage was for that time of testing, the tribulation. And what is being taught here is that there are individuals who are professing Christians. And that there will be some, we will find out during that time that some were in fact committed to their master and faithfully served. And there were others that said that they belonged to the master, but in fact we would find out that they had no desire to serve the master, but only to serve themselves. But there is an obvious secondary application for us. Number one, for the believers, we have got to be about the business of God's kingdom. If you do not know what your talent, your gift is, ask God. But be productive in the meantime. Serve where you can. Grab a vacuum, grab a broom, grab a toilet bowl and go to the throne of grace and scrub that thing. But also, this morning, if you are here and you have not surrendered your heart to the Master, you may do so this morning. Because you don't want to find out that, oh, I was raised in church, I was raised in a Christian home with a Christian cat and a Christian car and a Christian, you know, family and, you know, whatever else I had that was all Christian, but I didn't know that I was not saved. If there's any question in your heart, why not this morning surrender yourself to the Lord? I will lead you in a very simple prayer here in just a moment to do that. It's not a magical prayer. It's not the prayer that makes you anything. It's just a model. And what you would want to do is pray those that prayer after me. And all it is it's a way for you to confess to God and confess not only that, hey, I'm a sinner, but God, I need you. And Jesus, thank you for dying for me. It's that type of a thing. What you want to do is mean it from your own heart. And you can actually walk out of here different than when you came in. You walked in here with all of your sin. You can walk out of here brand new, having your sins erased, being born again. Incredible. I will also pray for us as believers, the Christians that are in here. Maybe there are some of us who are sitting on our gifts that aren't really even our gifts, they're God's in the first place, but maybe we're being stingy with those. And maybe we need to get on up and begin to move. And begin to bring profit to our Master, to invest what he's given us, time, talent, treasure. So let's pray, church.